Good evening, everyone. If we were asked who holds positions of power in the Catholic Church, we would most likely mention the Pope, archbishops, bishops, priests, not deacons, and persons certainly designated in areas of church ministry. But power in the church does not rest only with people with titles. We see the idea of the power and authority residing with more than just the expected in Sunday's gospel reading. In the first reading, God takes some of the spirit that he had given to Moses and bestows it on 70 elders. Filled with the spirit, they begin to prophesy. When Moses is told that two men who were not present when the spirit was given were also speaking prophetic words, he reacts in an unexpected way. Rather than ordering them to stop, as Joshua urges, Moses says, "Would that all people of the Lord were prophets." Moses wishes that the Spirit would come down upon all of God's chosen ones. In the second reading, James warns the rich who have cheated their laborers from their wages. The problem is not that they are rich, but they have gained their riches along with their luxuries and lifestyle on the backs of the poor. The miseries are going to come upon them, and they have for what they have done. It is not speaking of all rich people. What is said is limited to those who have failed to pay their laborers. Notice that the rich are not called to repentance, but to just weep and wail. In today's gospel, Jesus teaches us about tolerance. Tolerance is often associated with being permissive. Being tolerant or permissive is sometimes thought to be a weakness. A parent who is not able to correct their child's bad behavior is being tolerant in an incorrect way. Tolerance can also be a useful attribute. In fact, it would be a big mistake to view tolerance as a negative. In the gospel, Jesus asks his disciples to be tolerant. If tolerance were not good, why would Jesus require it from them? The problem started when the disciples saw someone driving out demons in the name of Jesus. They tried to prevent him from performing the exorcism because he did not belong to their followers of Jesus. We could only wonder what were in their minds as they saw the exorcist. Were they jealous because the man also casts out demons, though he was not one of them? Were they angry because they assumed that the power to exorcise demons was a privilege given only to them and not to anyone else? But the authority given them by Jesus was only given to them. Jesus explains to them that it is a blessing and not a problem. Why were they not the ones to cast out the demon from the person? They appeared to have no concern for the person being healed, but focused on the healer. "Do not prevent him," Jesus says. "There is no one who can perform a mighty deed in my name and at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us." Maybe Jesus should have said, "Whoever is for me is not against us." Jesus has taught his disciples about tolerance as a sign of Christian humility and charity. The teaching is very relevant for us today. We should not think that salvation is reserved for only those who have been baptized and follow a Christian path. Members of his church, faith, and the sacraments are still considered the ordinary ways to receive salvation. But this does not exclude the possibility that God could offer other ways of bringing people to encounter the paschal mystery of Christ in their lives. However, our Catholic faith has a fullness not found in many other faiths. We have the gospel, our traditions, and apostolic succession. Like the outsider who performed the exorcism in the name of Jesus, we have to understand that it is really Jesus who is the true source of salvation. Jesus calls us to religious tolerance as long as it's not against him or his teachings. We who do need to be careful that God's truth is not misused. It's important that sometimes we should ask whether something or someone should be believed or not. However, Jesus challenges us toward religious tolerance so that individually we also learn to discern the faith we have received. What is it to truly follow Jesus? What does it really mean to belong to him? What does it mean to be Catholic? In answering these questions, our salvation is found. It's important to understand that in the passage about plucking out an eye or cutting off your hand, Jesus is not speaking literally. I noticed that we all have our hands and eyes, so I'm glad you didn't take that literally. Besides, we have more sins than we have body parts, and even if we were to offer all the parts and had them removed, our hearts and minds are still the source of sin. Sin begins in our mind. Eyes and hands cannot by themselves commit sin. Reading these scriptures together, the meaning becomes clear. The church should be tolerant, but should not tolerate sin in its members. Anyone, any more than anyone, any individual should tolerate sin in their lives.